You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al,
Yee-haw!
Hit it!
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and today it's Wash for a Wish Day, so without further ado and without bearing any expense,
yes,
we have a reporter on the scene. Trevor Hutchison's on the phone. Trevor, how are you, and how wet are you?
I am doing really well, and I am a little bit wetter than I expected to get at this point of the day.
It's galoshes and your shirt off, and away you go.
Well, you know what the funny thing is that I think the guys at the shop I'm at right now knew what I was going to be doing in the next few minutes, so I think they decided to hose me down, so I am sought higher ground right now.
Oh, so there's a wet T-shirt contest going on? Is that it?
Well, I would not like to describe to you what I'm actually wearing, Al, but it's a little bit more like a onesie.
Ooh, full frontal nudity at all. The...
So tell us, Trevor, what are you guys doing, and what's the wish? What's the wish?
So what we're doing is, if the last number of years, Crown has worked with the Children's Wish Foundation, and so we created a Wash for a Wish, and what we do is that we want to be able to contribute to really families and children that have terminal illnesses. And so what this does is we're trying to raise money so that we can send families to whatever their children's wish may be, whether it's going to Disneyland or to see a sporting event or meet some music star that's their hero. We're trying to help with that.
And we're not it's everything we collect, every nickel goes exactly to the cause. Nothing is taken for expenses or anything else. Everybody's volunteering.
That's one of the great things about this charity is that 100% of the funds raised will go directly to Children's Wish. So when you come into one of our participating Crown locations today, we've got a suggested $10 or more donation. And all that money is going to go to Children's Wish. And then we're giving out some kind of gift bag, swag bag for everybody that comes in to just say thank you for donating to this as well.
I love it. And you're going to be at the Scarborough location?
That's right. So I'm on my way to 3590 Scarborough East. So I'll be there for about an hour and a half and then make my way to a couple others throughout the city today.
I love it. Okay, we're going to run. It's the opening show. Wish you good luck today. And I hope you break the record. The record to trying to get the biggest number of cars washed in one day by a single person with one hand tied behind his back wearing no shoes.
Well, maybe that's why his shirt is all wet. He's just rubbing up against the car. I saw that. It was a weird sight. It had X's in front of it. I can't remember exactly what, but they were washing the car.
We're not going there.
It was quite intriguing. This is Dave's Corner Garage. If you've got a car care question or something you want to talk about, give us a call. We'll be right back after this break.
You know, it's a shame you can't hear what goes on in between the breaks.
We'd go to jail.
Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. And with us today is Terry O'Keefe from OMVIC, Ontario Motor Vehicle Industry Council. And, you know, we might as well start off with the quick and dirty. Buying a car privately, you're on your own. It's like being topless. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, what kind of problems can you get into? Let's talk about liens and conditions of vehicles.
Yeah, no, when you buy a car privately, you're right. You're absolutely on your own. None of the consumer protection legislation that's out there, whether it's the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act, the Sales of Goods Act, the Consumer Protection Act, they don't apply to private transactions. They only apply if you're buying from a business, and the only business you can buy a car from is a registered dealer.
Right.
So I can't complain to Timmy if I got ripped off at a parking lot. lot in the donut shop.
You can complain if you can find Timmy, and then you're going to probably have to take Timmy to court, and good luck with all of that,
right,
too.
If he shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got a judgment, but you can't find him to serve the judgment, and then he served the judgment, you can't get any money because he's broke.
Or then he goes back to court and says he didn't get served, so there's a new trial.
Oh, but look at all the money you saved.
Well, and that's just it, because not only, you know, people do think they can save money, some
they
money,
really
buying
do.
A car privately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you can. But there's additional risk that comes along with it. As the regulator, you know, we don't tell people, you know, buy from a registered dealer. That's not our message. That's for dealers and trade associations to do. But we do want consumers to know they're only protected if they buy from a registered dealer.
Scenario, a guy buys a car from the dealer, but the dealer didn't pay out the lien. And he's on merrily on his way, and all of a sudden the bailiff shows up. What happens then?
It has happened. It has actually happened. We have, you know, it doesn't happen often, but we've had rare instances where, you know, consumer trades a car in, dealer's supposed to pay out the lien on
right.
on the trade in, and doesn't. That consumer is protected by the Motor Vehicle Dealers Compensation Fund, up to $45,000. We actually had a dealer 2 summers ago in Sudbury.
Mm-hmm.
That exact thing happened. Consumer traded in a Ram. $31,700 lien on that Ram.
Wow.
It didn't get paid out. The bank wants that consumer to keep paying that $31,700 loan. The comp fund paid out that money for the consumer. And that was because they bought from a registered dealer. You know, at buying privately, the types of risks that we're talking about, we see consumers that buy a vehicle privately, and of course there's misrepresentation
yep.
as to the condition of the vehicle. We've talked about in the past, we're seeing more and more rolled back odometers on private sales. And we've actually seen instances where people selling their vehicle privately, there's a lien on that car,
yep.
and it doesn't get paid off. And how they do it is they use vehicle information package, which a private seller has to give to the buyer,
mm-hmm.
says whether there's a lien on the car, so you know who you should be paying the money to. They'll scan it, use Photoshop to remove the lien information, and then print out the UVIP and go, here you go. So the consumer buying the car privately doesn't even know there's a lien on that car, and it gets repossessed from their driveway.
And it could be part of another package, like, you know, your car and your house and this is as collateral for a loan. So it doesn't just have to be the car, but sometimes it's involved in other complications.
Well, and on top of that, a lot of consumers really have no idea even what a UVIP is or that you need to get it. They may just find out after the fact when someone says, give me $20 at the license bureau, and they quickly rush through it and not even yeah. read it properly. But this is the time of year when people start doing holidays and whatnot, and there could be a lot of people out there looking for recreational vehicles. Now, there are some situations where you do help us from OMPIC and other mm-hmm. ones you don't. Maybe you want to clear that up.
Yeah, so if you're buying an RV, if it qualifies as a motor vehicle, then you're protected by OMVIC. And the dealer, the RV dealer who's selling it to you, has to be registered with OMVIC.
As a motor vehicle,
yeah,
what's the other one? It's a trailer.
Exactly. So if it's a motor home,
yeah.
the RV dealer who's selling motor homes must be licensed by OMVIC, and anyone who's buying a motor home is going to be protected by OMVIC, have access to that compensation fund we were talking
about.
But
the guy buying and selling trailers doesn't.
That's right. It's not considered a motor vehicle, and therefore that dealer doesn't fall under the Motor Vehicle Dealers Act, which is what we enforce.
Silly question. So it's a big guy, and he sells motor vehicles. But he also sells trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be covered in that situation?
You wouldn't be able to, like if it was a trailer that you bought, you wouldn't be able to make a claim to the compensation fund. But if that dealer was doing something that was
nefarious,
breaching our code of ethics or something that, just because it happened to be a trailer, not a motorhome, doesn't mean that we wouldn't take issue with that.
Okay, so what's the
downside for the dealer? You could eventually lose his license?
There's three different tools in the OMVIC toolbox we can charge. We have 16 investigators across the province. They're all provincial offenses officers and former police officers. They can lay charges. We can discipline. If the dealer or salesperson has breached our code of ethics, they can go before a discipline panel. Fines there are up to $25,000.
Wow.
Or exactly the instance you're talking about, we can revoke a license, which is what happened to that dealer up in Sudbury we were just talking about. We revoked their license.
So he's out of business?
Absolutely.
And he opens in his wife's name.
It was actually a woman who owned the dealership.
Yeah, he's already done it once. Okay, it's Dave's Corner Garage. We've got to take a quick break. Alan will take us out, and then we're going to come back and answer a couple of phone calls, and we're rocking and rolling.
You know, I'm hearing the the tune of Dragnet in my back, and I'm just imagining those two guys sitting there. So tell us, at the time of the crime, where exactly were you?
It was Friday at 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. The weather was cold. We were working bunco.
Exactly. You got it.
It's always bunco. My partner, Pat Buchanan.
That's the fraud squad, isn't it?
I think so. Bunco is the fraud squad.
All right. To answer those questions and more, stay tuned to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back after these messages, and maybe we'll even get to some car stuff, too.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Good people at Crown. I love them.
Yes, and they're holding a car wash today, so get down to your local Crown dealer.
$10
will get you a car wash.
For a wish. The most valuable car brands in billions.
In billions?
Okay, the most valuable car brand is Toyota, worth $29 billion with a B dollars. Uh-huh. Just the brand name. I thought Ferrari would be up there. Toyota, BMW, Mercedes, Honda, Ford, Nissan, Audi, Land Rover, Porsche, and Tesla. Not one American brand.
Well, Tesla's American.
But Ford's American. Okay, I give up.
Never. This is live radio.
Yeah, just there so you go. Okay, let's go.
We're going to go to our phones. We got Pat in St. Catharines who thought she was doing a good thing by getting her car cleaned up. But what happened, Pat?
Well, I wanted the whole car vacuumed inside, too.
Uh-huh.
And they open the hatchback, and it's like one of those automated cars, but they have attendants, you know. And then after I left there, I can't open the trunk.
You can't open it at all. Now, question, how do you normally open the trunk? Is there a key that you can put in the back, or do you have to a button you have to push? How does it work? Pat?
Oh, we lost her.
We lost Pat.
Okay.
Well, if what I was going to mention on this quickly, because I've been caught up in it too, a lot of cars will have an extra off-on button inside the glove box, okay?
Oh, like a safety.
No, it's for valet. It's to keep the valet guy or girl out of your trunk because it's for safety. It's for security. So it does happen where the little switch gets flicked by accident, and then your other device won't open it.
Now, I noticed that it's a hatchback, and I know when we were in business, they'd fill up with mud because there's a vacuum in the back of the car.
Oh, yeah?
And the lock itself would actually get stuck, right? So if they're washing the car and they opened it up and it got wet and got stuck in the open position.
Well, I guess the first trick here for Pat is she's going to have to figure out how to get the trunk open.
Yes.
If it's a later model
car. No, it is open. Huh? She can't get it closed.
Well, she'll have to call back because...
Quickly, want to go see the Mercury?
All right. We're going to go get yourself a Mercury.
If we had some money, we'd go and buy a Mercury.
Bob in Mississauga, what can we do for you?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've got a 2000 Mercury Marquis, and I've got a problem starting the car. The what was happening was when I turned the ignition on, I can hear the fuel pump prime up.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not doing that. I've checked the fuses, and I've gone online to check the problems, and I'm getting all sorts of different answers as to what it could be.
So it doesn't start at all?
It doesn't. The fuel pump doesn't prime.
Yeah, but when you crank it, does the engine start?
No. No, it doesn't
start. Ah, okay. All right.
I've replaced the ignition switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And checking online, I've got three different answers, fuel pump or the fuel pump driver module.
Yes. I'll give you one hint. This is going to sound crazy, but kick the fuel pump. Kick the fuel tank.
I tried that.
Yeah. You tried kicking it?
Yeah, I tried everything.
So probably you will need a fuel pump.
Okay, so it definitely would be, because I know the fuel pump's a bit of a job. And
No, I think it goes through the trunk, doesn't it, Al?
No, you got to drop the tank down.
You got to drop the tank. Okay.
Drop the tank, and I can do everything but that.
That's why Ford was lower on the list than Toyota, because in the back seat of a Toyota, you can get into the gas tank. You know, there's a little door there, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually, for a while, because all the police use those vehicles,
if
they got hit in the back, those things would blow up like crazy. They had to do modifications on the Crown Victorias.
Yeah, you see, the problem with this is the car is a 2000, but it's only got 50,000 kilometers. It's like brand new.
Yeah, get it fixed.
Did you price it out? Because I know I got a Mustang coming in next week, and it had a problem with the fuel pump, and unfortunately you had to buy the whole module.
Yeah,
which was roughly $600. It was crazy.
Yeah. GM is $900.
Yeah, but on the GM, I think you can buy the pump separately.
How much is an alternator on a Mercedes Benz? My wife's car blew the alternator.
Really?
$900 for the alternator.
Well, but it's the finest car in the world.
But being in business, I went to LE and he charged me $4.50. Anyhow.
It does pay to shop around, so, you know, check it out. All right, thank you very much for calling with that, Bob. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we have an expert here is Terry from Ombic, and I wanted to ask him the question about how do we replace? How do we check for liens other than if it's on an UVIC? What's it called? UVIC?
UVIP.
UVIP.
Yeah, the used vehicle information package. Yeah. Well, if you're buying a car from a dealer, you don't need to worry about checking for liens. The law requires dealers to remove liens.
And that's a guarantee?
Well, as we talked about that dealership in Sudbury that didn't, but you are protected by the compensation fund in that rare instance that a dealer doesn't. And it's almost inconceivable that a dealer is going to sell cars with liens on them because they know what's going to happen.
Wouldn't they not? Is there any other source of like, could they phone you and ask?
No, the used vehicle information package would be the easiest source. Yeah, absolutely. It's $20 Service Ontario. You just need the VIN for the vehicle.
Interesting. Because, you know, like even when you buy it privately, I asked the guy once for his VIN so I can check you. Really hesitated to give it to us.
Really?
Yeah. And there's car history reports, like CarProof. Mm-hmm. It has lien information. In fact, if you that particular product, if the car has been registered in British Columbia, Alberta, and Ontario, it'll check for liens in all three provinces.
Love it. Okay. The lady, Pat from St. Catharines, called back with her hatchback, and we'll talk to her after the break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we'll find out if it's open or closed.
You got it.
It's an open or closed case here.
I thought so.
We're working Bunko today.
I have more stuff here going, but I've got to
figure it out. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
And speaking of Glen Allen Motors, he's right here.
I am right here, and weather report's really good. So if you don't know if your air conditioner's working fine or not, give us a call on Monday.
You wouldn't know by now. Right under the collar. Darren Boston is with us from Salem Tire. Darren, good morning. How are you?
Good, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
Good. We should tell you that Darren and I, we enjoyed going to the track, doing what's called track attack, where you actually race yourself around the racetrack and you try and beat your own numbers.
So he drives a Porsche and you drive a smart car and you beat him on numerous occasions.
No, I never. Well, first off, he's one of our sponsors, so I would never beat him.
Well, you do that, you let me pass on purpose. Now I see what's going on.
Well, we had a great weekend. It was raining like crazy. Everybody was out in the track. And all the fast cars were spinning out, and me and my smarty car were passing them all.
Wow. Huh? Why?
Because I only have 80 horsepower. I can't spin the tires.
Spin the tires. What kind of and what kind of tires are you running on that fancy car?
Well, of course, Salins.
Salins. There you go.
Okay, Darren, we have a question from Terry, actually, about trailer tires.
Okay.
Just there's so many different brands out there that we've actually never heard of. I just bought an RV myself, Darren, and I've never heard of the brand of the tires that are on there. What's the quality of the stock tire that manufacturers are throwing on these things?
As you know or may not know, all tires have to be DOT approved, so there's no safety issues. It comes down to, obviously, you're going to find a range of, you know, good, bad, and ugly, I guess, if you will. But a lot of the major manufacturers have gone away from producing those tires, primarily because of the liability. There's, as we've spoken many times on the show, a lot of people don't, you know, the equipment's used half the year. It's not looked after. A lot of people don't realize the tires aren't meant to wear out. So typically you want to change them every 4 to 5 years, regardless of wear, because typically there's plenty of meat left on them at that point. So, but as far as any OEM, they'll have a warranty with those tires. You have nothing really to worry about, but just make sure you check the pressures, make sure, you know, everything's good to go as far as not over, you know, putting too much weight on it and driving too fast, because the max is really 55 miles an hour on those tires.
That's all?
Yeah.
And these guys are doing 80 and 90 Ks? No, sorry, 80 and 90, 120 Ks.
I see them regularly in the fast lane.
Right? So they're basically overspinning the tires.
Yeah, and then you get, if you have a little bit of overweight, or even if you don't for that matter, you know, the faster you go, the tire heats up that much more, and then there's more likelihood of blowout or problems, right? So it's definitely something you don't want to do. Stick in the middle lane or far lane and do your, you know, 100, 110, and you'll be fine.
How come nobody actually promotes that? You know, like we talk about everything else, you know, distracted driving and all these other things, but nobody pushes trailer maintenance.
No, and I don't know if they just assume that the, you know, most people that will buy that type of equipment will, you know how to maintain it or know what to look for. But I know, well, you know, a lot of the stuff is sold secondhand, and you might not even get the manuals with it, or, you know, people might not even be aware of this. But here at Dave's Corner Garage, we'll definitely try to make everybody aware of
that. Well, I think part of it is the people figure that they use it that infrequently is what could go wrong. I mean, I'm only using it two or three times in a season, but without realizing, like, even in the case of a car, that it's not meant to sit, right? And when it does sit, it does deteriorate. And other things, you know, specifically bearings and even the rubber itself, you know, it'll deteriorate by sitting in the sun. It gets weather checked, and then people don't realize that. So they think, well, I've only used it three times. How did it go already? Well, because you backed your trailer with the boat into the lake, right?
Got it wet.
Exactly. The wheels were under the water. Bearings got full of, you know, water, rusted away. So there you go.
You know, I think...
You gotta look at them more.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I think people should have a minimum of mechanical knowledge, even to drive a car. I mean, some people, including in our family, they don't know anything about cars. And, you know, she turns the key, and away she goes, and if something goes on, she complains to me.
You got to get one of them big stickers they put on the rental trucks, you know? Did you do a circle check today?
Yeah.
Well, the way things are going, we may not need to know anything because we won't even be driving them soon. So
yeah, we'll rent them. Actually, you know, there's a company opening up that you can actually rent your own car to private individuals, like what's on Airbnb.
Right.
But it's for cars. It's just coming to Canada, so you can rent your car out. You know, rent your Porsche for a couple $100 a day.
Well, I was going to say, when's the Ferrari coming up?
It's made of unobtainium. I think it's staying on the shelf.
I'll take
super
that.
Stuff. So ST is the model of a trailer tire.
Yeah, specialty trailer.
Specialty trailer. And you're one of the few manufacturers that actually supply that.
Yes. There's definitely a few out there, but all in the value tier. So.
All right.
Now, lastly, too, you did mention the DOT regulations. So is there tires that do sneak through that aren't gone through a DOT inspection?
No.
No. So
no, well, not to my knowledge in my... 20-some-odd years in the business, I haven't heard of any.
All right, super. If people want to get a hold of Sale and Tire, how do they do that?
SaleandTire.ca.
There you go.
And most importantly, check your tire pressures, right?
Absolutely, especially with the warm weather coming. It just exacerbates any problems with low pressure, plus your fuel mileage, right?
We all
don't want to put it down through the pipe. So
we got to put it. We check your tire pressure when it's cold, sitting in the driveway.
And use the number that's on the door poster in your owner's manual, not the number on the tire.
Exactly. Except in the case of the ST, you want to put it to the max pressure on the sidewall of the tire.
Which is about 35 PSI?
Or higher.
Or higher.
In some cases. Yeah, some upwards of 40, 45 on ST, depending on the size.
Yeah, mine are 50.
Yours are 50?
Mine are 50, yeah.
And 18-wheelers are what, like 100 and something?
Yeah, they're in around 195 to 110.
Boy, when those suckers blow, you better not
stand back.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Darren.
Thanks, gentlemen.
SaleandTire.ca if you want more information. Have a great day, Darren. See you later. Bye-bye.
And like Dave always says, RTFM.
Read the effing manual.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're going to take your calls right after this break.
Okay, we're back. I don't know where we came from.
Well, and Pat has been standing, Pat, so we're going to go back to her in St. Catharines.
Back to Pat.
To find out about her mystery trunk. Pat?
Yeah, oh, hello.
Don't hang up on us.
So here's the question.
I don't know what happened.
You can't get it open?
They washed my car. They vacuumed
we know
inside,
that.
And about 15 minutes later, I went to open it, and it wouldn't open.
Ah, okay, so it's stuck closed.
All right, so the first thing that you're going to have to do, that is the back seat of your car fold down by any chance?
Yes, it does.
All right, perfect. Well, and are you kind of nimble?
Yeah.
Good. Pat, be nimble. Pat, be quick. You're going to have to crawl into your trunk, dear. What you're going to have to do is fold the trunk down, the back seat down, I should say.
Uh-huh.
And then you should be able to go into your trunk, and you're going to see a fluorescent kind of plastic tag there. They've been put in the cars for the last 10 years or so to help pop the trunk open in case you were getting kidnapped or whatever. So if you move that and push the trunk open, it should open up.
Well, I took it to Ford, and the guy just said, he used the fob, and he said, I can hear it trying to work. He says, well, bring it back. You'll have to leave it for a day, and it's going to be up to $300.
Okay.
What's happening is because of the type of model it is,
it's a 2010 Escape.
Yeah, it probably gets mud and dirt into the locking system, and they seize.
Well, you know what? Yeah. If you're not happy with that answer, you could certainly get a second opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would check around. I don't know that it's going to be that costly. I mean, if you're hitting the fob and you're actually hearing it click.
Yes, you can hear it click.
Well, then my assumption is that the latch and the electronically, yeah, it's working fine. It's just a matter of there may be some dirt, like Dave says,
well,
yeah, blocking the latch.
I presumed like when they did, like they were the car wash people were the last people to open and close it. So maybe a roller came down or maybe they slammed it too hard.
Well, I mean, you could certainly go back to them and say,
no,
hey, guys.
They're not claiming any responsibility. They're just acting stupid about it. Like,
you're going to have to go to a second shop, get a second opinion. More likely it's dirt that's caused it. Or the latch is actually closed somehow and jammed. So in other words, it's lunch bag letdown.
Yeah, I would find a local garage. I mean, ask your friends, see who they're using as far as who they know and trust. And you can get a second opinion. There you go.
Let's talk to...
We're going to go to George in Newmarket. He's got a Genesis. Yeah. We don't get too many calls on those. What's with yours?
Hello.
Hey, you want to buy one or you own one?
I have one, and I think I'm having a problem with eating too much oil. It's a 213. It's only got 84,000 kilometers on it.
Uh-huh.
And... she ate 1 liter of oil on 3,000 kilometers. My question is, are they supposed to be eating that much oil or something is wrong with the engine? Or
how long have you had it, George?
I just bought it last year around this time.
Usually a liter every 3,000 kilometers for most people is not abnormal.
That's correct.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But you know,
all right, that's all I wanted to know because I was thinking that the dealer is giving me the runaround.
Not necessarily. I would check online just to find out if there's other, Hyundais that are using that much oil. It is quite common that cars do burn. In fact, BMWs, right from the get-go, the M series, the high-performance ones, they give you a liter of oil just to keep in the trunk so that you can top it up. Most importantly, it's not the fact that it's consuming. I mean, great, you'd wish it wouldn't. But most importantly, that you keep it full, okay? And if you do, then you could drive the car probably for 10 years like that.
You could try raising the viscosity of the oil. What are you? It's like 0.20 or something.
Right, so you could go up to
5W20.
Yeah, well, if you'd like, if it seems to be, but try a 10.30 next time.
Yeah.
And that may slow it down a little bit. But really nothing else to worry about.
They've reduced the viscosities to try and save fuel and ease startup. So,
George, when you start it up first thing in the morning, do you see a cloud of smoke at all?
No.
No.
Okay, perfect. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, you're okay.
You're okay, buddy.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, you know, it's because some of these cars don't burn any oil at all.
Well, it's true that some don't, but right, other ones do.
Yeah.
So it's whatever peculiar or what the norm is for your car. And now that we've told George, he knows. We're going to talk to Walt in Fort Erie just after this break. He's got a Charger. Ooh, wonder if that's the racing model.
Maybe somebody plugs into a battery.
Or maybe his wife is using his credit card too often, and it's a Charge X issue. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're having fun, but we'll get back to your calls right after this break.
And speaking of Mr. Transmission, we were at their golfing, tourney yesterday.
Four!
Yeah, it was five. I spent more money. we were raising money for breast cancer, and they had a big turnout. We had a great time. If you go to our website, davescornergarage.com, click on Mr. Transmission, you're going to see Alan and I standing there beside our hole. That was our hole. We owned that hole.
I know. I felt close to it, actually.
I felt very, very proud of that. And Steve was off in the woods somewhere looking for his balls.
Bull! Oh, there it is.
Is yours the Titleist?
Huh?
Yes.
It's a Slasher 4. You were playing the Slasher 4. quick question for Terry. What is the most common complaint that you get?
Most common complaint would be about vehicle condition. So consumers bought a vehicle and within a short period of time have had problems.
Lunch bag letdown.
Yeah, often that's the case. And I mean, it depends on what the issue is because there are mandatory disclosures dealers have to make. If the engine, transmission, air conditioning, major systems requires repair, they're supposed to notify you of that. So sometimes it can be, just how long before the issue arises.
There's an easy answer to that is because as a mechanic – Terry drives a car a certain way. He stresses it a certain way. Mm-hmm. Pulls away from lights the same way all the time, and he brakes the same way all the time. And Joe gets in it, and he hammers it, and he slams on the brakes, and the machine's just not used to those stresses, and it ends up breaking down. So it's just two different driving styles. And telling the truth, cars break into their drivers.
No, I, you're absolutely right. And one of the things we talked, when you know, if you're buying a car privately, get it inspected by a mechanic.
Yes.
Absolutely, every single time. If you're buying a car from a dealer, if it's still under warranty, maybe, you know, maybe you don't need to do, to take, get that inspection. But if it's out of warranty,
definitely,
you know, getting it inspected is probably a good idea. And very often we hear from consumers, they get the car inspected the week after they buy it instead of the day
before. The week before they bought it, yeah.
Well, exactly. And then for the most part, it's too late, you know, especially if you're going to talk about conditioning, you know.
Now, off air, you told me trying to cancel a deal was the second biggest
That's the second most common complaint is consumers sign a contract to buy a car, give a deposit, and then change their mind. And they're under the
assumption,
and it's an incorrect one, that there's a cooling off period, yeah, that they can change their mind.
Right.
And I know we've talked about it before, but 83% of Ontarians think there's a cooling off period when they buy a car, and there's not. When you sign that contract, it is a legal binding contract, and that is why by law it has to say right next to where you signed the contract in 14-point bold font, mm-hmm, sale final.
Do you know that people will go in there and sign a deal and then walk that deal down the street and say, hey, can you better this? And the other guy goes, yeah, I can better that. So now they bought two cars.
They have, and we would have issue with that dealer, the second dealer.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's a code of ethics thing happening here. But very often they don't say they've bought it. They've just said, I've got a price. Can you beat that price?
Yeah.
And those consumers, they're doing that at their own risk, because the dealer does not have to let you out of that contract. If they incur damages, you know, we refer to them as liquidated damages, they can take that out of the deposit.
Such as a salesman's commission?
Well, salesman's commission is one that we're always cautious of, because if a dealership was going to claim that as a liquidated damage, we'd want to see proof that it was actually paid.
Okay.
But that car may sit on the dealer's lot for another 30 days, 60 days before it's sold. Dealers borrow money for their inventory,
yes,
so it's
okay,
costing them money every day that car sits there. Maybe they're going to have to advertise that vehicle again. Maybe they detailed it in preparation for delivery, and it's going to sit for another 30 days.
It. And sometimes even licensed it.
There could be, yes, exactly, if they've had to have it plated. So there's going to be costs in order to cancel that contract, and the dealership is legally entitled to seek those costs.
I remember, I'll tell you a story. When I was sales manager at the dealership, lady phones up with a model number and a thing and a price, and we prepped the car for her, and she comes in and she goes, oh, it only has two doors. I wanted a four door. Well, no wonder our price was better.
How much can two more doors cost?
Exactly. Well, $500 easier, $1,000. But the reality was, like, we were ready to license that car, mm-hmm, and I said, nuh-uh, we don't see any money, no license. Right, but the salesman was adamant. She's buying that car and everything else, and she walks in, and it was the wrong car.
And that's why buying a car can be really emotional.
Yes.
It really – hey, I get emotional when I buy a car. It's very exciting. But it's really important that you take your time. Don't sign that contract unless you're certain you want to complete this transaction. It's the price you want, the model you want. It's got the equipment you want. Don't sign unless you know you want to complete this deal.
And the other part of it is, how long are you going to keep it? That's the second part of that equation. I know that Jim says if you're less than 4 years, you should be actually leasing it. And if you're going to keep it more than 4 years, you actually buy it. So it's how long you're going to keep the car, because it's going to depreciate immediately as soon as you drive it off.
Yeah, I you know, we certainly don't give advice at OMVIC as to whether you should buy or lease or what vehicle you should. But we have a lot of great information on our website, OMVIC.ca, whether you're buying privately or from a dealer, that you really need to consult before you make that choice. Because even people that have bought 15, 20, 30 vehicles through their lifetime,
yes, mm-hmm,
we find they really may not know what their rights are and their responsibilities.
You're very true. I mean, it could be that they've been lucky all along dealing with honest people, but all of a sudden you come against,
yep,
a professional bad guy, you can be in deep trouble.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Phil Down, who was the founder of the
Yorkville
Car Show.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're on hold for to get on the show, hang in there. If the show ends, we will talk to you off air and answer your questions. Yeah, old Volkswagen, that's you.
I'm not an old Volkswagen.
Well, you're an old Volkswagen guy.
Well, and how about you? There's a question about Charge X.
We'll talk about Charge
X. That's old. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. Without further ado, Phil Down is on the phone. He is the founder of the annual Yorkville Exotic Car Show, which is on this weekend, Father's Day.
Tomorrow.
Between, what do you call it, Bay and Avenue Road. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Dave and Alan. How are you?
Good.
Excellent, thank you. Now, this is to raise money for prostate cancer, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, all this money goes to such a great cause. It's not just for prostate cancer research, mm-hmm. but for awareness as well.
You were saying they're doing great strides in prostate cancer.
I'm sorry, Dave?
You were saying that you're doing great strides in prostate cancer.
You know, Dave, here are some of the facts and the facts that make me emotional about it. Over the last 20 years, we've reduced death rates due to prostate cancer by 40%.
Wow, that's great.
You know what that means? With last year's death rate, that means that at tomorrow's Yorkville Exotic Car Show, we're going to have 2,700 men with us that are still with their children, mm-hmm. their wives, their families. And we just have to keep those numbers improving year after year after year. And that's why we're doing this. We're teaming up once again with the Bloor Yorkville BIA and our huge major sponsors like Acura, Manulife Center, Yorkville Village, Lexus on the Park, and Premier Tire. And your last guest was talking about emotion. Come on down to Bloor Street West between Bay and Avenue Road tomorrow between noon and 5. Walk the red carpet. You want to see emotion? We're bringing in 110 exotics and specialty cars that you won't see anywhere else, all in one place. It's a unique environment. The weather's going to be fantastic.
When do you start setting it up?
Dads, it's your day. Tell the family you're coming down to the Bloor Yorkville BIA's 6th annual Yorkville Exotic Car Show. It's going to be a wonderful day.
When do you guys start setting it up? Must be like 3 o'clock in the morning.
We're closing it off. Dave, it's our 6th year, as you know, because you've been with us every single year. We start closing the streets at 6 a.m. Oh. Barricades go up. Carpets go down. It's like a ballet. But please, please, for the spectators, do not show up on the street until noon so that we can get those cars rolled in safely.
Great information. All right, Phil, good luck with your show tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
And take the subway.
Alan. Always appreciate the support.
You're very welcome. Have a
Thank
great
you,
weekend.
And remember, Subway's the best way to get there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's TTC means actually take the car, but...
in this case, no.
Don't take the car.
We can only hope that the lines will be open tomorrow.
Well, you know what? It's a great event. I've been there every year. Mm-hmm. Warning to the guys, don't go into the stores with your wife.
Yes, a lot of them stay open, eh?
Yes, we went in. They had a race car. They had the Indy car sitting on 4 teacups. Mm-hmm. So this is Alex and Artie's car.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the car, and the wife goes, "Oh, it's Ashley's." And I go, "Yeah. Can we go in?" I go, "Okay." We walked out with $700 worth of dishes. So I'm warning you, don't go in.
Leave the Charge X at home, eh?
The Charge X, exactly. It's actually Visa now, eh?
Actually, it is, it is, it is. So a couple of things we should be talking about. Sharon Dunn, if you are with my in earshot, please call us because you are the winner of Four Salem Tires.
Cool.
I've emailed you a couple of times. You only have 30 days to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pick it up, it's going back out. So Four Salem Tires are still available if Sharon does the phone. And I want to wish the guys that... Vic, good luck with your race car, NASCAR, racing this afternoon.
Yeah, you were talking about the Indy car that last year. The Canadian NASCAR Series is running today up at Sunset in Barrie, and Vic sponsors the number 56 Matt Scannell car, trying to raise awareness of Vic. But also this year, that same NASCAR Series is going to be running at the Honda Indy.
Yeah, the Honda Indy is a support race.
Yeah.
And that's a tough track, the Honda Indy track. It really is.
What kind of car are you running?
They run a Dodge Challenger.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, the engines come up from Yates Racing down in North Carolina.
So this is
roundy-round racing. It's roundy-round racing.
No, I understand that, but this is big-time racing. This isn't backyard guys doing them themselves.
Oh, no, yeah, no. The Canadian Pinty's NASCAR series, it's a cross-Canada series. They run 12 races throughout the season. 5 of them are here in Ontario, and this was supposed to be the third race of the series, but last week, Chaudière's race in Quebec got rained out. Mm-hmm. So this will be the second race so far in 2016.
Well, very good, yeah. Well, it's nice to see that, you know, that the industry supports the racing. It's amazing how many Canadian race car drivers there are in racing around the world and how few people we actually are in comparison. You know, like Jacques Villeneuve
and Alex Compartier.
I can't pronounce it. Carpenter. Carpartier. Yeah.
Tagliani.
Tagliani's phenomenal. I've interviewed Tagliani several times. Well, he's so intense. He says
he actually drives in the Canadian NASCAR series.
And he ran an Indy 500. He did 17th, I think he finished. And Hinchcliffe, I mean, another Canadian driver.
James, he's made a remarkable comeback since his big accident.
And, of course, Dave Redinger, who...
who drives a Smarty car out there.
Actually, no. I used to run a Honda in the Honda Michelin series. And I used to not do that well because I had to work on Saturday, so I was at the back end of the field all the time. But then we ran stock production, did very well there. I think I was vice champion for a couple of years. So, no, it was good.
And I want to suggest that make sure you tune in next week. I'll be hosting. Dave is going to be on a bit of a break. And
yep.
I'll have Christina Legowski in. She's an excellent writer and bloggist. She has her blog is called Drive Like a Girl. So if you're a lady out there and you got a question,
yep.
Make sure to tune in.
Again, thanks, Terry, for joining us. Terry,
always a pleasure, Robert. Guys. Thanks.
And don't forget to Mayor Wash for a Wish for
wash
the guys
for a
at
wish.
Crown.
Yeah, get to your local Crown dealer and get a free car wash. $10, a great donation to a great cause.
And thank you to Darren Bossens for joining us and giving us advice on tires. And if you're on the phone holding, hang on. Alan and I will grab the calls.
Hey, don't touch me there.
I didn't touch you there.
You said you want to grab my calls. Okay.
We're not going there.
Oh, you already did, Dave.
And Sebastian's got his finger on that release button. So
keep
you know,
the shiny
you
side up, the greasy side down, and have a great weekend.
Bye, everyone.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Happy trails.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.